might have our first. We might have our first. 30 seconds. Come on, Miss Jing, hurry. 25 seconds. Where's Dexter? He's got 15 seconds. 10, 9, 8. Ah, yeah. He's living large. All right. I'll put that up for me, will you? See if we can. Can we turn those lights off? We can see this is my family. Okay. This was just last Christmas. Those. There we go. So there's me and Alita. This is my oldest son right here, Samuel. He's a graphic designer. Matter of fact, a number of the posters up on the fourth floor from various different conferences he designed. That's his wife, Karen. She's the shorty in our family. We make fun of her a lot. She's 5'1". Of course, that's what Chryso aspires to. She works for our 10 days missions department in the States. Okay, this is my second son, Joseph. He's actually hunched down. He's 6'4". He played college basketball. He works for Dave Ramsey. Do you know the Dave Ramsey? Yeah, okay. He runs their organization. No, he doesn't. That's a joke. This is wife, Lee. She has several wedding businesses she runs. And she just runs our whole life, too, pretty much. Okay, this is my oldest daughter, Katie, and her husband. He's a good-looking fella, isn't he? Ernie. And this is my grandson, Omalimo. Katie and Ernie live in Johannesburg, South Africa, and they run an AIDS orphanage there. And he used to play professionally rugby. Now he works for Champions for Christ. This is my baby, Jessica. She was here last year. And this is my little friend, Lucy. My little Karen Terrier. Have you ever seen the movie Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what Lucy is, a Karen Terrier. So like Toto, I miss my little puppy dog.
Where's Lucy?
Lucy's right here.
You didn't bring her in here?
I wanted to. I miss her so bad. All right, thank you. Lights, please. All right, let me go. Let's start over here. Okay, Yvette, stand to your feet, please. Talk to us. Give us the answer. What did you say about our question? What in your job is bringing out the pressure and producing character in your life?
I even told my sister.
What specific aspects of your job are helping to build character in your life right now? Talk to us. Talk to us.
I even told my seatmates to just keep this to us.
No, sorry, can't do.
Now this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Manifested in him. Okay, I want you to know I hate doing this.
Good. That's why I
really
called on you.
It's okay. For me, what I told them, basically, I'm probably I'm like a sort of technical person. That's how I was probably trained in the recent years when I worked in a corporate job before. So when this is number one, this is number two, and this is number three. So it's not letter A, it's not B, it's like that. So in my job right now, it's like, okay, this is what we discussed. Why are we changing it right now? And I'm having a hard time with that. So I really,
Yvette,
like what I told them.
Yvette, get ready. Okay?
Yeah, I know.
Get ready.
And what I
this is your life from here on out.
What I illustrated with them is that when it comes to massage, I'm a Swedish type of person. I want Swedish with oil and all. But looks like God is giving me the. The tie and all that. I was like, how's the done of you that Thai massage? I was like, okay, I'm sleeping later on. Somebody was, what happened? So, there goes my Thai massage right now. So I do believe there's the Holy Spirit of the Holy Spirit is doing a great and mighty work in my life right now. In our past series, I need to be strong and courageous. First and foremost, I have to face myself and say, please be flexible, be look at the bigger picture. This is outside of me. This is outside my comfort zone. So there's a greater work first in me. That's what I'm saying.
Awesome. Thank you, Yvette. Okay, Janelle, talk to us. I'll come back to you. Be ready.
Sorry.
Gans, talk to us. Stand to your feet. Stand up. Talk to us.
Yes, I am Yvette. No, it's very similar. I think I'm in my fourth month, and I'm finding that it helps to be creative, and it helps. I found this. I don't want to incriminate myself any further, but she already did. So, I find that in my new line of work, what I'm enjoying most about it is that I'm learning about flexibility, and I'm learning about. And I'm learning that I do appreciate massages because before I didn't get them. I think the bottom line for me was that when I came in, I felt that I was like, oh, I'm gonna be the cheerleader, I'm gonna be the happy guy, and I'm gonna make everyone feel nice and welcome, and it's gonna be one big circus. And as it is, the only circus there is that I look like the elephant. for me, it's about balancing expectations, and I'm trying to arrange it in such a way that I don't put any pressure on my volunteers. For me, yeah. Right now, when I came in, I was like, it's all about the volunteers. I want to make sure that my volunteers are happy. Yeah. The mantra at Green Hills is like, a Victory Green Hills volunteer. It's a happy volunteer.
Okay.
And since I came in, we've been having people come in and volunteer, even if it's not volunteer weekend, which is great. Right. But the flip side of it is making sure that on our end, from the administrative perspective, is that the pastors don't put any surprise things on our volunteers. So I end up taking the surprise, and I don't so that my volunteers are not surprised.
Okay,
that's where I'm coming from. And the pressure really for me is that I'm just happy that Pastor Dennis and Pastor Jason, they're good-looking men, and it's easier that I can face them and I can speak openly to them because they're open to that.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm learning a lot about tact because before
you
was making
tactful.
A test of that, I'm not a very tactful person, and it's a period of grace where I'm learning how to be more tactful with what I say because I can't. My face says everything. If I'm unhappy, you know it. And if there's food in front of me, you know that I'm unhappy. Oh, so anyway, yeah, that's how I feel. That's how it is. Where I'm right now, it's like the Holy Spirit is working in me. Every day, there's new realization. Gans, you gotta fix yourself up like this. You gotta spend more time with me, and I am spending more time. 2011, it's my year of double time with God.
Great.
So I'm really excited about that.
There. Excellent. Thank you, Gans. All right, Janelle, I'm gonna let you off the hook. Or can you do it? You want to do it? Okay, go.
Hi. The character that I think that God is pointing out, basically, is patience and pride. I'm working on my patience, and at the same time, pride with the work. Because sometimes when I deal with volunteers, and even if we try to teach them certain things, and we train. And sometimes it gets tiring when you have to be repetitive all the time.
They don't
with
get
the
it
same
the first
people.
Time?
No. Sometimes you have to explain it and explain the principle. And then you go back and then principle again. Okay, this is how we do it. We don't tell them no. You just be kind and friendly. And sometimes it gets frustrating.
Yeah.
Because they don't get it. And it's a challenge on my end to translate it in chewable pieces so that they could understand. Because sometimes, for me, I have a tendency of setting up a certain standard that, okay, you have, I want you to get here. You know, I want you to, okay, I can see this in you so you could get here. And it takes time, and it's sometimes frustrating when they don't see it and then they don't do anything about it. But at the same time, sometimes I think also parang when they say something, like even when I converse with other people and they say something, and sometimes I have a thought that says, oh yeah, I thought about that, or yeah, I knew that, or oh, that's so old, parang, and you just got it now, like that. And it's always catching that thought and saying, okay, that wasn't right. And that's what the Holy Spirit's been convicting me about, like making sure that I'm always in a position of humility every time I talk to people, yeah. Every time I see things, because if I'm not humble, then I can't learn. Yeah. If I'm not humble, then I can't be corrected or I can't grow. So
yeah.
There, that's particularly good. Something that
excellent.
I need to work
on. Well, I got a session for you, Janelle. Our next session is on humility. Thank you. That was a nice lead-in. It's just for you. The rest of these sessions, as we progress, this will be our last today, but then whenever I come back and talk about this, we're going to take character qualities and talk about them. So our first session, we're going to do humility and pride. How many think if we could get those two down, the others wouldn't be quite as hard? Humility. What is humility? Humility, first of all, before we start, it's one of the most misunderstood character qualities. So to really understand it, we're going to look first at what it's not. Sometimes it's helpful to figure out what something is. You see what it's not first, and then in contrast. So what is humility? First of all, what it's not. Humility is not self-depreciation. Deprecation, deprecation. Is that your fill-in? Self-deprecation. It's not putting yourself down. It's not the tendency to undervalue yourself and your abilities. It's not, oh, well, I can't do that, I don't know that, and talking about yourself like that. That's not what humility is. Humility, second one, is not shyness. Sometimes we have a tendency to think a person who doesn't talk very much, oh, he's a very humble person. He could be the most arrogant person in the room. Might be. And we have a tendency to think the loud, assertive, bold talker, he's probably the arrogant guy. He might be the most humble guy in the room. One of my best friends, a man named Greg Tipton, I don't know how many of you know Greg Tipton, he runs our 10-day missions department. He's 10 day Tippy, so he is 10 days. One of my best friends. Tippy's one of the loudest men I know. He comes to teach in my school, and I tell all my students, I said, don't sit near the front when he comes. Get early to get in the back, because if you sit in the front, your eardrums will hurt. I say, Greg, you do not have an indoor voice, do you? He doesn't have any indoor voices, it's all outdoor voices. When he talks, I go out of the room all the way down our corridor, down to the end, turn to the other corridor, go in the men's room, and I can still hear him talking. He's just loud. When Tippy comes in the room, he's talking loud, screaming, bold, assertive. He was a high school or college, university football quarterback who played a little bit in the NFL. Just loud, bold, everywhere he goes, stomping, making noise. But he's one of the most humble people I know. But he's certainly not shy. So humility is not shyness. Humility is not humiliation, although it sounds like it. So you say, I got humbled. Well, maybe it was just humiliation. And finally, number four, our last one, humility is not a lack of ambition. I want to make a real clear distinction here. The Bible disapproves of selfish ambition. not ambition. It approves of ambition, urges, encourages us to be ambitious. The word ambition just simply means a strong desire to achieve something. According to that definition, how many of you are ambitious? How many are ambitious? I have a strong desire to achieve something. So I'm ambitious. It's a godly quality. Ambition is a godly quality. Jesus actually appealed to his disciples' ambition when he said to them, from our passage last session, whoever wants to become great among you must become. We read that passage, we focus on the becoming, but miss the first part. It's an appeal to our ambition. Do you want to be great? Yeah, I want to be great. I want to be great. Jesus is actually appealing to our ambition. If you want that, and you should want that, here's how you get it. But he encourages ambition. We should be the most ambitious people on the planet because we have the most important thing to achieve. So the world should look at us and wish they could be as ambitious as we are. It's a godly quality. You notice Jesus didn't rebuke James and John's desire to sit at his right hand. He just directed them, if you want to get there, here's how you're going to get there. See, if ambition was wrong, he would say, shame on you guys for thinking like that. No, he didn't do that. He said, you're thinking about getting there the wrong way, but getting there, that's good, ambition. The Apostle Paul said about his life, he said, I was more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. I was the most ambitious one in my group. And then even after conversion, right in the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I labored even more than all of them. The most ambitious one of all. So ambition is godly. And sometimes it's hard for us to get that mentality. Right, because we've seen ambition in a worldly context. And we know that's not right. And so we think then humility would be not being very ambitious for ourselves, trying to do something great. No, by no means are we encouraging that. Be the most ambitious you can possibly be for God's kingdom, for his purposes. That's not humility. Well, then what is humility? Just a few thoughts. Humility is recognizing that everything we have and everything we are is a result of God's grace. Everything we have and everything we are. So, right after Paul said, I labored even more than all of them, he said, but not me. The grace of God in me. You see, what a beautiful balance there. Tremendous ambition, but acknowledging it's all from him and for him. Humility is the habitual frame of mind of a child of God who feels that not only he owes all his natural gifts to God, but that he has been the object of undeserved redeeming love, constantly aware of what he is apart from Christ, but that Jesus thought he was valuable enough to give his life for. And so he ought to have that same attitude about himself. If the Lord valued me that much, then I have tremendous value. And I'm going to carry myself with that kind of value to honor the Lord. Humility is acknowledging that we can do nothing of eternal benefit without God. Acknowledging we can do nothing of eternal benefit without God. Jesus gives us a great example. John 5, verse 3, he says, by myself, I can do nothing. In John 8, 28, he says, I do nothing on my own. John 12, 49, he says, I did not speak of my own accord. We can do a lot of different things. We can make things happen. We can get things done. But we can't do anything of eternal benefit apart from Him. It's just wood, hay, and stubble. It just gets burned up at the end. Humility is properly estimating ourselves. Properly estimating ourselves. Paul, writing the Romans, said, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought to, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. I had a situation last year. A lot of details I won't give you, but in a situation, another leader probably didn't treat me as Jesus would have wanted him to treat me. And it was difficult and troubling for me. And I remember I woke up one night to use the bathroom because I'm old, and that's what happens when you get old. You do that a lot. And as soon as I got up, I heard this voice spoke to me. And very clear, said, so-and-so, the pastor's name, is not respecting you. Well, the reality is he probably wasn't. But my immediate thought was, because I knew the source of it. See, that was the enemy trying to make me feel, yeah, I'm not being treated right. I'm not being shown respect. But my immediate thought, and I said it out loud, I said, yeah, but if he really knew what I was, he would respect me a lot worse, a lot less. If he really knew what I was apart from Christ, I'd get a lot less respect than even the little respect I'm getting now. You see, that's the gospel there. The gospel influences your life. You are when you're slighted, someone doesn't treat you properly with respect. He said, do they know who I am? Well, how do they? You can't treat me like that. He said, if you really knew me in the core of my being, you'd realize you give me a lot more respect than I ever deserved. Properly estimating ourselves, knowing that at the same time, we're more wicked and flawed than we ever dared believe. And yet, more loved and affirmed than we ever dared hope was possible at the same time. Because there's one who looks at us and knows just what we're capable of, how much evil, how much sin we're capable of, and yet still loves us with an undying love. Now, when you hold those two together, you're every day you tell yourself what you are apart from Christ, and you tell yourself what you are in Christ, you start to get a more accurate view of who you are. And then you can walk in real, genuine, gospel-based humility. Because the gospel has shown you both how wicked and flawed you are and how loved and accepted at the same time. What a marvelous thought that is, isn't it? How is humility measured? Humility is measured by how we respond to correction. Somebody said that earlier. I appreciate that. Yeah, you find out when you get corrected. A great example in 1 Chronicles 25, I think, with Uzziah. Uzziah is one of the great kings of Judah. Godly man. Does a lot of great things in his life. But the Bible tells us a sad part of his life that when he became great, when he got older and he became great, pride came in. And he decided that he was going to take another man's office. So he went into the temple to burn incense. Now, that was the role of the priest. And there's a clear separation. But he thought, well, I can do that too. His pride became his downfall. And when he came into the temple, the priest Azariah confronted him. And the Bible tells us that what Uzziah's response was, he became angry and he raged against Azariah. Well, you know what happened to Uzziah? Immediately, leprosy broke out. See, if we had something like that happen to us, we would probably check our behavior a little quicker. Unfortunately, we don't have that happen. But when someone corrects you, that's when you find out what happens inside. Do you bow up? Do you react? It measures what's really there. Humility is measured by how we respond when we're passed over for another. Does that bother anybody here in this room? Anyone been bothered because you got passed over? You thought you were supposed to get something and somebody else got it? I mean, that's happened to me so many times, I can't even count. Am I the only one that wicked or flawed? I am? Okay, Otto says I am. Okay. Well, that's good to know. That's properly assessing myself. Okay. I'm the only scumbag here. Well, this has been helpful for me then. Thank you. Because I'm ambitious. I'm highly ambitious. And I want stuff. I mean, I want to have influence. And when I get passed over for people that I'm absolutely convinced don't have anywhere near the talent, good looks, and charisma that I have, man, that cuts into my soul and drives me back to the gospel. And I realize, Lord, I'm not as far along as I thought I was. If you haven't experienced that, may God bless you with an experience of being passed over. I'm wishing that blessing upon you. Maybe one of those things. Humility is measured by how we respond to human authority figures. Wow. That's the truth. There's a big movement in America, really across the world, of church without church. People who are getting their spiritual nourishment from small groups and not from organized church settings. George Barna wrote a really popular book about it. And it was from his perspective, it was positive. Of course, there's a lot of positive things about that, but the reality is when that's your spiritual nourishment, there's no authority in your life. See, and you don't know what you really are until you confront authority. Authority reveals what's really in there. It's someone telling you no, someone stopping you, putting the brakes on, that reveals what's really inside. We find it in our dealing with authority figures. Thank God for authority figures. Amen. I didn't get loud enough amen there. Humility is measured by how we prioritize the needs of others. What goes first? Who goes first? And humility is measured by how we respond to insult and bad treatment. It's amazing. The Bible says about Jesus, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. He kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. Well, one of my favorite narratives in the Gospels is the Syrophoenician woman. You know, she's the text goes to great extents to make us understand she's not one of the covenant people. And so the Jews looked upon the Gentiles, they called them dogs. Now, we don't fully grasp that because dogs for us, little Lucy, our little pets, you know, we think nice thoughts about our dogs. But of course, in first century world, a dog was a mongrel. It was a scavenger, more like a jackal. So it's one of the worst insults you could get. Now, nowadays, you know, we call it, hey, dog, what's up? You know, that's not an insult, right? But the Gentiles were dogs. And so here's Jesus in Syrophoenicia. The woman comes up and she's wanting something for her daughter. And Jesus says, it's not good to give meat to the dogs. He calls her a dog. Now, she bow up and says, well, who do you think you are calling me a dog? But instead, she responds in humility. She says, yes, Lord, that's true. I am a dog. I know what I am. But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. And Jesus said, I haven't found this much faith anywhere in Israel. I haven't found that much faith to take that kind of direct insult and not bow up, not respond, agree. He said, you know, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what I am. But it doesn't stop the fact that you're merciful and you still give me a crumb from you is more than I need. Let's find out when we get insulted. What will humility produce? I'll go through this quickly. God will give you grace. God will exalt you. God will give you wisdom, God will give you honor, and God will guide you. Let's look at the parallel now. Pride, okay? What is pride? I'm so glad you asked me that question. I'm going to answer it for you. Pride motivates all sinful behavior. Pride motivates all sinful behavior. I got a real long quote here from C.S. Lewis, and I hate giving long quotes. It's hard to pay attention. But quotes by C.S. Lewis are so good. You got to give them whether they're long or short. So try to focus. It's a long quote from C.S. Lewis about pride. He says, there is one vice of which no man in the world is free, which everyone in the world loathes when he sees it in someone else, and of which hardly any people except Christians ever imagine they are guilty themselves. The essential vice, the utmost evil, is pride. Unchastity, lust, anger, greed, drunkenness, and all that are mere flea bites in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Pride leads to every other sin. It is the complete anti-God state of mind. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see anything that is above you. That's a good quote, isn't it? Pride is trusting in our own ability, our own will and ability over God's. Trusting in our own will and ability over God. Jeremiah 17, 15, one of my favorite verses. This is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man and who depends on flesh for his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. It's a curse on pride. Ultimately, pride declares that we are our own Lord and Savior. We can manage our own life. That's as far as I want to go. I know you have more notes. We're going to cover them later. I want to have time to get our second discussion question. So, oh, there you are. Al, could you put that third slide? Question? Okay, which of the following four descriptions of what humility is not is the biggest struggle for you? Why do you struggle with that one the most? What can you begin to do to overcome that? So remember, humility is not self-deprecation. Humility is not shyness. Humility is not humiliation, not a lack of ambition. Which one of those is the biggest challenge for you? Get in your group, talk about it. Why do you struggle with that particular one? Talk to your group about that. And then what can you do right now to start overcoming? All right, go ahead, group. Start talking.